Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 527. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today, it's Matthew Ford.
Hello.
It was inevitable that you were going to be on today, Matthew Ford, because I took a look at the news and I saw the Nintendo Direct thing pop up and went, oh God, here we go.
It was like fate.
It was fate. You were due to appear on the podcast anyway, and lo, Nintendo bestowed upon you the gift of chat topics. So we're going to be going through all of the Nintendo business that appeared yesterday, the exciting new announcements and the expected ones as well. But it's not just Nintendo. We've got standard mobile things going on too. We've got a small, you'll be relieved to hear, small update to the Fortnite Apple saga. We've also got chat about a whole bunch of new games either looming over the horizon or have just crested it, including the likes of Warhammer Quest, Silver Tower, Deckham, Murder Pursuits, and also we're going to have a little word about Paradise Killer because it looks fun. But first, the news. The Fortnite saga continues unabated this time. The only real new announcement thing or thing that's happened is that Apple have sort of come out victorious where the courts are concerned in terms of one of the rulings. Like, basically, Epic was trying to stop Apple from removing them, the company, from the platform. Forget about Fortnite for a minute, but like removing Epic's developer account from their stores and therefore, you know, given access and whatnot. Apple seems to have won this one. So Epic's developer account's been removed. So they can't update the game anymore. They can't make any new games on iOS at least. I don't know what Android are doing about it. We know they've gotten rid of Fortnite, but I'm not sure where they stand on getting rid of Epic altogether. But basically, judges said, look, you knew the rules and you broke them, so we're backing Apple on this one. That's where we are. The one thing that did pop up that I found funny was, you know, the free Fortnite trailer thing was based on a Ridley Scott trailer that they'd done for Apple. And that was part of the whole...
I didn't, actually.
Didn't you? Okay. Big Ridley of, you know, Alien and Prometheus and Thelma and Louise and all the rest of it. And Blade Runner, of course, and Big Ridders was like, I mean, it's flattering that they've basically frame for frame recreated my trailer. The reason they've done it, eh. Which was literally his quote. He said, eh. He's like, I can't help but be
talkative, man, Ridley. Yeah.
Well, he likes talking about himself. That's for goddamn sure. I love Ridley Scott in interviews because he's so like pleased with himself in a way that you're like, you're Ridley Scott, so you've kind of earned this, so all right. But he does love talking about what a great eye, I've got a great eye. He's got, and I kind of, he's one of the people that gets away with it. I quite like it when he's being all. Did I mention that I'm fantastic? Smoking a cigar. Legend. But he was kind of like, I mean, if you're going to recreate it or if you're going to do 1984 or whatever, he'd rather it was for a better cause or something. Mm. I don't know what he means by that when it's like, what? You mean a better cause like selling Apple Macintoshes, really? Or Hovis bread? I mean...
What's that saying when they say... was it like copying is the...
Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Flattery, yes. That's it. Obviously, Fortnite's gone altogether. Mm-hmm. On the app store for now. A couple of articles this week came out, you know, saying it leaves a massive battle royale market. Like, it leaves it open now for people like, you know, your PUBG Mobile, Garena Free Fire, Knives Out, and games like that who could really jump on it. Call of Duty Mobile, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
More of these can jump and more. One of them's going to come out very well on top
from this, really. It's going to fill the vacuum a bit. I mean, PUBG is already massive in its own right, as is Garena Free Fire, although in slightly different parts of the world. You're probably
not playing it in
the UK. But, well, I mean, it's Brazil, I think. Like, South America is where Garena Free Fire came from. But it's become big in different parts of the world. We don't hear too much about it over this way. And again, like, Knives Out, I think that's another Tencent one along with...
That is, yeah. And then Fortnite... is pretty much the dominant one in the West, normally.
So, let's go to more fun and current things. There was... And was this a surprise direct? I know people were expecting things because it was anniversary, 35 years of Nintendo and everything, but was this on a calendar anywhere?
It wasn't officially, but it'd been rumoured and speculated all year, basically. Yeah, all year since May time-ish, because this was all going to be announced at Nintendo's E3, originally, in, what, start of July. Then COVID pushed everything back, and yeah, there was lots of murmuring saying, right, this Wednesday, keep an eye out.
Well, it is the 35th anniversary of the OG Mario Brothers launching, and they've gone all out. So it's a complete nostalgia fest from top to bottom, with a couple of new things thrown in for good measure. Now, we're going to start with a really, really old thing, which is they're doing a Game & Watch, a new Game & Watch, which is hilarious. Now, I'm old enough to have had one of these when, or I can't remember if I inherited it from my brother. Either way, there was one in the house anyway. And if you've never seen a Game & Watch before, kids, it was a little handheld LCD device, like a little, you know, it looks much more like a Game Boy Micro or something like that. Landscape oriented. It played one game, and that game was kind of hard coded into the screen because it's one of those LCD games where it was literally the early liquid crystal where it's just black images, and there are maybe four character images on screen that would light up, and that would be your character animation, like left to right, and you could just move them to the different spots where they belong. And I had a Donkey Kong one that was a clamshell. You opened it up and it was dual screen.
Is it orange?
Yeah. The original DS, baby. and that was amazing at the time. And it was also, that's where you get all that beep, 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 beep. Classic. So they've done one of those, but they're doing one that looks exactly like a Game & Watch, only it's going to run the original Super Mario Bros., isn't it?
It is, yes. You get Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels on it. And you also get the Game & Watch Ball game, so the classic, you know, the juggler one.
Okay, yeah.
But instead of, like, Mr. Game & Watch's head, they've replaced it with Mario's head. And it looks very strange, but even though it's one of the most simplest games out there, and, you know, it's from its time, it's actually a very fun game. I remember playing it on the Game Boy and everything like that. I had a version of it from that. And, you know, they're very simple games, but it is more of a nostalgia trip, but it's fun to be had.
That is, yeah, that's adorable. We like that. And it's obviously, they've done well with their mini NES and their mini SNES, or SNES, as Matthew likes to say, and most of America.
Do you think you'll pick one up?
No. I haven't got any of the mini consoles because I know it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'll buy it and I'll play it for a day and then I'll forget about it. Mm. And, you know, I've played these old games. It's fine. I don't need all of them. And ROMs exist.
It's an unusual one as well, because obviously people were expecting, you know, an N64 mini, or, you know, maybe a GameCube mini, most people. And, you know, it's like, no, we're doing a Famicom mini sort of thing.
It may well happen. Like,
yeah, I'm hoping I don't know, it's Nintendo, you never know. And there's a lot of caveats to these announcements today where you're like, hooray, this looks amazing, this is exactly all I wanted. Actually, it's not exactly all I wanted, because Nintendo be Nintendo, and then there's lots of weird stuff on top of it. But yeah, the Game Watch comes out November 13th, and I believe it's $50.
Oh my god, really? Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
So it is like a collector's thing.
That's
really
oh my god. Okay, that's too much for that. Moving on. What else have we got? So I'll do the list chronologically for the stuff that looks interesting. Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury is coming to the Switch. So Super Mario 3D World, which I presume appeared on the Wii U?
Correct, yes. Yeah, okay. 2013, it was one of the first Wii U games, and it's it's been a long time requested. To make its way over to Switch. Yeah, fantastic game. I doubt you've played it, I'm guessing.
I have not. I do not have a Wii U, nor ever did I.
It's a amazing platformer and one of the best multiplayer platformer games, because you can play as Mario, Luigi, Toad and Peach. It's a mix between, you know, the Super Mario Odyssey and 64 and all that lot, and the 2D games. So it's like halfway in between the 3D world, because there was a 3D Land on the 3DS, and then they brought this one across. But yeah, it's just fantastic, colourful, and if you haven't played this game, you absolutely need to try it out.
Nice. So that's old stuff coming over. A couple of new things which are of interest. So Super Mario Bros. 35, which I guess seems to me like a genetically linked ancestor of Tetris 99. Not quite Battle Royale, but...
It's not far off, yeah.
Not far, yeah. It kind of is a little bit. Are you locked in a single screen, or are you side-scrolling through, like, Mario levels in a speed-runny kind of way?
I couldn't tell you from the trailer. Hard to figure out.
No, because it seems incredibly vague. So I think it looks to me like you're literally moving through old Mario levels. But the idea is that you're supposed to be completing it as quickly as you possibly can, but also, like, when you smash through enemies, it looks like you can then send those enemies to your other, to the 34 other players' screens. In the same way that you could with Tetris, where you could send things to your enemies to slow them down and mess them up.
It is Tetris 99, basically, with Super Mario Brothers.
That's going to be something that's appearing on, I think it's the October? Beginning of October.
It is, yeah. So it's exclusive to Nintendo Switch Online.
Oh, right. That service you subscribe for.
And it comes out October 1st, 2020. But it's only available until March 31st, 2021. And then it's going away forever.
Oh, really? Oh, so it's just literally an anniversary.
Yeah, it's just a limited time thing. But it's weird. It's like, I don't know if Tetris 99 was supposed to be that at the beginning. But obviously that went on to be hugely popular, so they've left it. I don't know why they're taking it away. I think this looks great. This looks lots of fun. Just while I remember, we forgot to mention, for Super Mario 3D World, it's actually got an add-on section.
What, the Bowser's Fury thing?
Bowser's Fury, yeah. So they only showed off a brief minute trailer of a Cat Mario being on an island. That looked really interesting. And that comes out February 12th, 2021.
Right.
Which is a bit far off, to be honest. I was hoping for that this holiday.
Well, give them a chance. There's a lot going on at the minute.
It's not a lot coming from Nintendo, though. That's the problem.
How dare you? Well, what about Mario Kart Live Home Circuit? A game that is seemingly exclusively designed for people who live in large country estates and or massive American mansions. Because this is a combination of an RC kart game, I guess, as in you literally get little remote control cars and put them down on the floor and race them around. But you race them around using your Switch controller. There is a camera mounted on the top, just like an actual Formula One racing, when you see the cameras all stowed around the vehicles as you're watching it on TV. And you are kind of VR, AR racing these games. So if you put it on the floor and then you put the little standees that fly over the tracks that you kind of zoom under.
I know what
bridges
you mean. Yeah, they're
gates
like paper
or whatever.
Ones in this, like checkpoints.
Yeah.
And then a finish line. And then you can map them out however you want. And then
on the floor, in the examples, they've literally got like white lines that seem to be drawn down the side. I don't know if that's a reflection of the wood panels they're using. But either
that's
way,
be just in game, hasn't it?
Yeah, you can track them out. And then virtual lines appear because you're seeing the perspective of the camera on the car that you're racing. And then you're zooming around your living room or wherever it is. And it's a perfect toy idea. I can imagine being like 8 years old and seeing this advert and being, I must have this. This looks so cool because I love remote control cars and I love games and this is going to be amazing. The actual practicalities of getting this working in the UK, I mean, no one's got this space. This lounge that they're playing around is about the size of my entire flat. In what world is anyone going to be able to actually play this thing?
Yeah, I'm going to look forward to going around in a circle 30 times and that's
A circle around your coffee table like this.
Yeah,
basically. That's rough. The idea, great. In the same way that when they did their cardboard fold-up, what was it called? The Nintendo?
Labo,
yeah. All that, which is like, I love their idea of like mixing the physical with the digital and bringing it all together. And that's really fun and really cute. I do think it's been designed with someone who's never been in a house in the UK.
No, I do agree with that. The other thing is, you know, as you mentioned, I do think it's fantastic if you're a kid. As you say, if you're an 8-year-old kid,
it's
like this would be the
fodder.
Best thing in the world. Yeah. Like, if you watch that trailer as well, I think that's one of the best AR trailers I've seen to sell it to a consumer.
Yeah.
Because it was you saw that trailer, it's like, right, I understand how this works. Mm-hmm. It looks, you know, it looks very exciting, and it plays through the Switch and everything. I just thought it was very inventive, and it just looks like Mario Kart. Is this going to work how it shows in the trailer from Nintendo? I'm not so sure.
They have to be in the room, don't you? This is a local multiplayer game, surely.
The technical aspects of it, you know, mapping out the tracks and keeping that AR function going. I think in the trailer it shows you off working perfectly, and I just don't know if it's actually going to work like that in reality.
Well, I can see them getting the tech working. Maybe it'll be a bit iffy, I don't know, but we'll see. And for me, it's more just the pure space issue of I mean, this is going to be available in a realistic way of such a small sliver of the population. Okay, cool. Nice nice idea. And that's going to be October 16th, they're bringing that. I'd love to see that in practice.
Do you want to know how much?
Okay, go on.
Go on, have a guess.
Don't tell me it's going to be some disgusting 80 quid plus thing, is it? How much?
I believe it's 100. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. They've got old stuff as well, back to the old stuff. So they have also added to their digital service. Is it the digital service or is this you buy separately? The Super Mario All-Stars.
So yes, this is part of the online service.
Yeah, online service. Okay, so that appeared. Now, this is the original compendium of Mario games, what appeared back on the SNES ages ago. So it was like...
1993.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was born in 1993.
I was born as well. Previously, so it's fine. Yeah, that came out and it had like the original Mario Bros. 2, the Super Mario World, the one on the SNES. And yeah, it just had all the Mario stuff that had appeared up until that point. The new digital version has sexed it up a little bit. So we're now dealing with 16:9 instead of 4:3 aspect ratio. So it fills your widescreen without black bars. And it's compatible with the Joy-Cons, so you say. And are you saying the same thing here? This is also only available for 6 months.
That's the 3D, which we'll come on to. Yeah. So this one, it says it's out today, so it's just the online service.
Okay. Oh, in that case, ignore the thing I said about aspect ratios, because that was applying to 3D All-Stars. I'm getting my All-Stars mixed up. The 3D All-Stars is the thing that everyone's losing their mind over. That's the big announcement that's really come off of this, is that they've taken the old compendium idea that they had for the SNES, which is now available, and done it with... So what's the three games?
So this is the 3D All-Stars, yeah?
Yeah.
So we've got Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy.
Right. All of which are incredibly highly regarded and beloved games.
Mm-hmm.
From all over the... So the original one was N64, and then we went into Wii territory, didn't we?
GameCube and then Wii, yeah.
Yeah. And people like have been wanting ports of this for a long time, and all these are turning up on the Switch meant everyone was jumping up and down with glee and joy. And
that was me.
Then closely followed by, but where's Galaxy 2? That's what I saw.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Like, hot take, I'm not actually a big fan of Galaxy 2. Like, I don't think it's that great, and I don't actually miss it being in this. And I know it's brilliant, it adds Yoshi, but I've always thought the worlds were as full as the original Galaxy. Like, Galaxy 2 had, like, lots smaller worlds connected together, as opposed to Galaxy 1 was bigger worlds. And it was just felt like DLC, and it never clicked. But if it was in this collection, I would have given it another go, 100%.
I never played 2. I've played 1. I do actually have that when I got the Wii. That's one of the reasons I got it. Very, very good.
Best Mario game.
And I played Super Mario 64 when the DS first appeared. So I played and completed that as well. Also very good. Never done Sunshine.
Oh, here's your opportunity.
Well, no, it's not, because I don't have a Switch. But
perfect time. I will get you one day, James. One day.
You can keep saying perfect time, but it's not the perfect time. Never the perfect time. So that's going to be appearing in September, and that's September the 18th specifically. So what? Two weeks less? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Very exciting for people.
Pre-order's already in.
And what? Is this going to cost £200, is it, judging by their pricing standards? What's this going to cost?
That'd be fair. No, it's £49.99, so standard price, which is pretty good, I thought, to be honest, like for the three games. But in other respects, they are just ports, and this is more of a problem for me. Like, Galaxy 2 not being there, it'd be nice if it was, but it's not, so I'm not that big about it. But, you know, Super Mario 64, there was a long rumour that it was going to be a full remake as opposed to a port.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. So it's a little disappointing it's not, and it's only 16:9 on Sunshine and Galaxy, I think.
Oh, and they've maintained 4:3 on...
They have, yeah.
Okay.
And there's some issues possibly with the Joy-Cons for Galaxy. It seems like you can maybe only use the Joy-Cons in handheld... In handheld mode, you have to use the Joy-Cons for all the like shape mechanics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of caveats to it. I mean, it's fantastic to have these three games on the go for the very first time and not on the Switch. You know, it's a very much legacy thing, keeping these games alive and everything.
Keeping you buying the same games over and over. That's really true about. Legacy, my ass. Absolute bank balance return for, like, yes, you will buy this game. Oh, this is like some Square Enix stuff right here. This is that classic, like, yes, you will buy Final Fantasy VII for the 15th time.
But Nintendo rarely do this. That's the thing for these games, especially like Sunshine. It's never been off GameCube, I think.
That's fair.
Galaxy as well. That's first time, you know, it's off Wii. 64 of the DS one. I think, and then maybe on the Nintendo Wii eShop, maybe briefly.
I got it for £6 secondhand. That's how you do it, kids, on the Wii. But yeah, obviously that Wii Waggle stuff doesn't necessarily... The Joy-Cons do have motion sensors and accelerometers
they do.
And that.
They're not as good as the Wii's, though.
Yeah, it's not a one-to-one thing, so I guess maybe there is some problems. And you can't, if you are playing it in a handheld mode with the Joy-Cons clipped to the side, you can't like waggle your entire Switch around. It might be...
Yeah, I want to play with the Pro Controller anyway, so it's like... Doesn't matter that much to me. And I think the majority of people would want to play it with the Pro Controller, or it'd be nice to play it with the GameCube controller even, for like Sunshine, like the original, because you can hook up your GameCube controller.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, it's all right. You could do it with the Wii as well. Yeah,
but Nintendo has actually said it's not compatible.
Oh.
Which is sort of true, not true. Like, you can play it, but like the adaptive triggers won't work because the game didn't have it back then. The Pro Controller doesn't have them.
Right, okay.
So there is a bit of... It's like a half-baked sort of thing. And yeah, it's a little disappointing overall. Like, I'm thrilled these games are coming. Like, 64 was one of my first ever games I ever played. Like, I remember that my N64 getting that as a kid. Sunshine, I absolutely adore. I've played that probably more than any other game on here. And I know it sometimes get a bad reputation sometimes because it's not been as good as the other two, but I think it's got a lot of charm and personality. And then Galaxy, I think, is one of the best games ever created, personally. So
it's pretty good. It's good. Yeah.
I'm particularly excited to see that in HD.
Well, the nice thing is that in this awful, awful year, God, there's something small and colourful.
Finally,
you know,
some good news.
It's warming people's hearts. I'm not as excited as other people because this isn't my franchise.
But. The big thing is you can only pick it up for 6 months.
You can only get this. Hang on, are they doing a physical release for 3D All-Stars?
Physical and digital.
And then what? Oh, they're doing their artificial scarcity thing.
Yeah, they're deleting it in at the end of March. So it's such a bizarre move. And it's just, again, it's Nintendo. It's like Nintendo give, Nintendo take. It's like,
I don't like the artificial scarcity. I don't like this because all you're going to get is people buying up 20 copies of it and then trying to shill it. You know, when the 6 months winds up, and then they're going to be selling them for thousands. And
I know.
Why? Don't do that.
There's two reasons for this. The one that I think might be the actual reason is that obviously it's been quite a tough year for all companies and everything with everything that's happened in the world and COVID. The end of their financial year is the end of March. So I'm thinking they're just doing this to get as many sales as they can in, because lots of people might see this and go, oh, that looks great. Oh, it's just ports of the old games. I'll pick it up sometime in the future. Whereas this is like, no, you have to get it in these 6 months. And that'll obviously push the financials up, which they'll want.
Still don't like it.
No, I don't. It's a
I can see the argument for fiddling the numbers there to get people to buy very quickly to make sure they get it before it's gone. But again, artificial scarcity, it exists, you've made it, and then you're just going to turn off the tap for no reason. They must bring it back again later because there'll still be people who want to get it. And
people are reckoning that they're going to sell them separately afterwards.
Oh.
Which
makes sense. And then charge more for them individually. That makes sense.
100%. But it's similar to what Disney do with the Vault. Do you know that they bring out a lot of classics and DVDs, then they go away and they're in their Disney Vault, and then they re-release them after like 10 years and it's like a big deal.
Yeah, that seems daft too. Well, it's not daft, it makes money. That's why it's done. But now it's all on freaking Disney Plus anyway, so nuts to their vault. Well, this is like, go and have a look at the roundup that Matthew did so you can catch up on all the little bits and pieces. And like I say, apart from the silly release schedules and limitations, broadly speaking, I'm glad to see everybody looking all happy and excited about it.
Finally, some good news.
That's nice, exactly. Out and about on mobile this week. I'm going to start with Warhammer Quest Silver Tower, which you've been talking about for a while. This is kind of a follow-on from the Warhammer Quest games that Pachang did, or they did one specifically, which was a sequel from the game Warhammer Quest something or other, which was made by Rogue. They then took over the franchise, and now they've done their new version. They've been cooking up for a while. It's free to play, so you can download it now and start it up. It is dragging you along by the nose in a kind of a straight line. I don't know if you've played any of this or seen any of it.
I have not.
No, all right. Well, the way that it works is very similar to how the old games played out. The original Warhammer Quest game that Rogue made was like literally top down, as in directly from the top down.
Okay.
And you're looking at the grids and you're wandering through like actual dungeons and actual castle corridors and things, and there was a fog of war and blah, blah, blah. And so it had a very, like, good old-fashioned top-down, you go here, attack the people, blah, blah, blah. This one is more like cameras at an angle, you're on floating platforms in the middle of an weird infinite cosmos of swirling miasma, and the gameplay remains actually very similar in terms of what you have to do. So it's a gridded layout, you have to tap to move. As soon as you tap on your character, it shows you what the character can do. It shows you one turn action will be used if you travel maybe two or three grid squares, mm-hmm. and then that area is colored in orange, and then outside that maybe there's a green bunch of squares, which means if you travel a little bit further, you can go further, but it will use up two action points, so you won't be able to attack. And so you need to work out, like, your movement versus your attacking. It's all just done by taps. So go over there, tap to that square. Are you sure you want to? Yes. Tap again to confirm. Same thing with dueling. Enemies will appear. They'll move towards you, and you can go face to face and attack if you're melee. If you've got, like, an area of effect skill, for example, there are some sword swipes which you can go wabam, and then they'll kind of carve a path of destruction out in front of you for a few tiles, so you can just direct them where you want them to go. And of course, you've got your ranged folks who are standing at the back giving it archery and spells and all that business. And you make your way through, and it's got like a straight line campaign, so you're joining up very short instances where you take out a few enemies and then, boom, you've completed it. This is where the more modern gaming architecture starts to appear, so it starts to feel much more like a standard free-to-play game. Because the smaller areas, you get through them, and then, oh, you've got a chest, and the chest unlock things, and then you see the six currencies at the top of the screen, and it starts walking you through all the leveling and getting new weapons and, you know, all that stuff. So the free-to-play influence is very much here in a way that it wasn't really in the original games, and I can see that putting some people right off. Puts me off a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Presentation of it's nice, looks good, and it's familiar enough that people who play the original be like, okay, yeah, I see this. And it's still satisfying to do the turn-based stuff. And, you know, there is still, like, a satisfaction that I get from not doing things in real time that still surprises me a little bit. Like, I still balk slightly at the new Final Fantasy games where you have combat in real time. It still feels weird to me, like playing Final Fantasy VII Remake demo, or even Final Fantasy XV, which was kind of a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And I'm very much like, I've never gelled with it. It's never felt quite right. I'm very much like, it's turn-based or it's not. This in-between thing. Active time battle's okay. Mm. The thing where it's like, it's turn-based, but think fast, because if you sit there doing nothing, they're going to attack you. That's okay. But I don't know, it's a weird balance. This still feels like, you know, still classic turn-based stuff, but it does have that extra layer of like, bam, here's your currencies, here's how you got to manage your upgrade path and get your new weapons and pay money to upgrade them, and, you know. So perhaps people will be like, ugh, at that stuff. But equally, it might draw a whole bunch of new people in who maybe didn't want to pay premium before. So I need to play more to see. As always, when you play it for a couple of hours at the beginning, it's never an accurate reflection of what the mid to end game is going to look like.
No, you need to invest a good, you know, 10 hours before you start scratching what it actually is all about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so difficult with all free to play stuff because you don't know when they're going to suddenly drop the game and be like, right, you need to grind for 2 months to progress any further, or you can buy this £5.99 thing. So I don't know where that's concerned, but the initial impressions are kind of like, yep, fine, playable. Free-to-play stuff might annoy people. So that is Warhammer Quest Silver Tower. That's out right now. It's download App Store and iPad. You and I have both played something small and daft. Is it Deadeye Deputy? Is that what you've played?
It is.
Yeah, all right. What do you think of this? What is this for a start?
It's a cowboy shooter game where you basically have to drag your finger across the screen and the game will automatically shoot like enemies or other cowboys. And when you take your finger off the screen, your cowboy reloads.
And goes then back into cover.
Yeah.
And Time then you, Crisis style.
Yeah. And then he'll move himself to different areas and you'll take on more enemies. And it's just level after level doing the same thing. There's 34 levels in total. I did the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't blown away. It wasn't great. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. It's an on-the-rails shooter that's emulating the format you get from light gun games back in the day. So it really is. When you put your thumb on the screen, a crosshair appears, I should say, and then you're moving it around, drag around, and it auto-fires when you draw your crosshair over an enemy's head. But yes, and then release to duck down, and it's very much emulating that whole House of the Dead, Time Crisis, yada yada. The thing that freaked me out about the game, because it is what it is. It's incredibly light. It's 3D, but like really early, like 3D... really
like PS1 N64, yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like that TV show called Reboot that was on when I think late 90s to early noughties, that was kind of terrifying early CGI, looks like that. The thing that freaked me out is when you see the characters and their eyes, the eyes of the characters, Matthew, I have stared into the abyss and the abyss has stared back into me, and it's been terrifying. So it's not the greatest looking thing. And
no.
It's very simple, very surface level.
I found quite a lot of bugs as well, personally.
Did you?
Yeah. It was just like erroring out a lot and stuff times. And it was just like, yeah. I mean, there's lots to do. I mean, you know, they've got the aim to get 3 stars on each one if you want to go back. And it's all about speed. Because the first level, it took me ages to get the 3 stars. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Because I'm hitting them all. And it's like, no, you have to be as quick as possible. It doesn't matter. How accurate you are, just be as quick as possible, and that's how you do it. And then there's collectible horseshoes, which you can do to get a bonus level. I don't know if you got to the bonus level where you're on a horse.
Nope, didn't get that far.
Yeah, you're on a horse, and it's the same thing, but you're on a horse.
Okay, cool.
And that's it.
Yes, I don't think it's going to blow people away, but no. It's currently available. I think it's free.
It is free to play. Yeah, okay. I would not pay for this.
No. iPhone and iPad right now. Dead Eye Deputy's name. We should probably, as we talked about all the Nintendo stuff, mention the fact that you've actually played the Super Mario All-Stars. So this is the digital version of the N64, what am I saying? The SNES release, the compilation of the early Mario games. How do they feel on the Switch?
Great. I just ran through last night. So it has the original Super Mario Brothers, but it's the SNES version, as you mentioned, which is completely, it's very different. It's the same game mechanics, but they've redone all the arts and textures. Yeah. And it's like night and day. I've never played this before. Okay. So it was very interesting. Obviously, I've played the original Super Mario Brothers, you know, dozens of times and everything, but I ran through the new version and it was like, this is bizarre. You know, there's paintings of Bowser, and at the end, you know, Toad's not just stood there, it's Toad in a bag, and he unties out the bag and stuff like that. There's all these little add-ons. It's like, this is actually really cool. And it's like, it's such a weird thing, because you know this game. It's one of those games where, you know, I know like the back of my hand, but to see it in this context, it doesn't feel real. It feels like, you know, someone's modded it or something like that. But yeah, Super Mario Brothers, you know, you can't go wrong with it. It's one of the best, most important games of all time. But in that pocket, yes, you get the Super Mario Brothers, the SNES version, then you get Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3 and the Lost Levels. So Lost Levels is the really, really difficult one that I can barely progress in. But if you've never tried out any of these games, like, you should, and even for the original Super Mario Bros., which I've gone through, it's worth your time just having to bash through. I mean, I did it in, under 2 hours, which I was quite happy about, to run through the whole game, so...
Nice. Well, even my non-Nintendo ass has played these games. So that is how important and vital they are. I was a Super Mario World kid, because the SNES was when I was a young kid, the SNES was happening. So that's the one that I was, like, most familiar with, and
I had that on Game Boy.
You have on Game Boy. I always associate it with Mario more than anything else. In fact, yeah, I played it on the Game Boy SP. That flip-lock one was still the best one. Kicked ass. That was great. That was lovely. And so I assume no problems or glitches or weird eccentricities in the Switch version.
Seemed fine from my time on it, you know.
Lovely.
You know, you've got all the extra save mechanics, which is always useful, where you can create suspend points. And I don't think you can rewind and fast forward in this one. I couldn't see it, because in some of them you can, obviously. I think for Super Metroid, because I played that through for the first time ever this year, and there's certain parts in that I was like, I'll rewind a little bit in this, just because those games, they take so long and they have so much exploration around it. And like, if you didn't have a game guide back then, it's one of those games where you'd spend 100 hours just trying to figure out every secret, which... Back in the day when I have lots of free time, when I was a kid, that's what you want. But, you know, now you've got a job, work, and life.
And things to do.
You can't.
So that makes sense. No, it's good. It's quality of life stuff. It's a nice improvement. Absolutely. Well, that's out right now if you've got the online service. So that's free, inverted commas, but yes. You know, monthly subscription. I want to mention, going over to the Switch, and this is me saying something about a Switch game on a platform I don't have, but it's also available on Steam now, called Paradise Killer, which has been, I've been following the development of, because I'm familiar with some of the people who make it. Mm-hmm. And it's a, like, imagine your Ace Attorney and your Professor Layton sort of murder mystery investigation style games.
Okay.
With that Japanese visual novel flair, but instead of it being like linear and directed, it's kind of actually an open world game where you're wandering around first person perspective. And instead of you going through clues in a chronological order and going through different scenes that the game directs you through, you get to just wander around the island and talk to people. And that's how you start piecing the mystery together and the clues and all that business. I haven't played it, I should say. I've seen a bunch of playthroughs of it, or I've been following it while it's been being developed. And it's getting really good reviews, which I'm delighted to see. It's already got like 9 out of 10s from some of the big folks, and people are talking about not just the game and the art style, which is incredibly 80s, but a very specific kind of 80s. So it's like very late 70s, early 80s, Japanese city look. And it's complemented by a soundtrack, which is kind of reimagining city pop. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but like there was a very, very brief period, again, late 70s to early 90s, there was this genre of music that was like a kind of jazz pop funk fusion that is kind of emulated a lot nowadays, I suppose, with all the vaporwave stuff. It's become a basis for a lot of that 80s nostalgia. But people just go, oh, it's the 80s. City pop was a very specific thing that happened in Japan. It was an urban kind of jazz fusion funk pop. And there are a couple of artists who kind of are the epitome of this, and people know. And it's doing that. The soundtrack is emulating that, and it's doing it really well. So it's, you know, lots of kitsch, cheesy. Like, if you know... Sonic 2 almost has... The soundtrack to Sonic 2 is almost a bit city pop in places.
Yeah, I get that.
So if you like that cheesy funk, like artificial brass section, like synth brass stabs everywhere, it's great. It's a really good version of that. It just makes me smile.
Everything from what I see in here, it looks like it oozes style.
It's cool as hell.
Yeah.
I should say that ex-podcast person, Alicia Judge, is one of the voices in it.
Oh, wicked.
She voices a character called Judge, which I guess worked out. but yeah, it's not like it's huge. It's not a huge budget thing. It's a small little studio. But it's getting a lot of love from people, and I'm probably going to get it. I'm wanting it to come to PlayStation because it's still... If I buy it on Steam, I have a horrible feeling I won't end up playing it. But it's out on Switch right now. So if you like the murder mystery business, maybe that's worth a look based on what people are saying about it. Other new release things. I mentioned Dawn Awakening, where I got my wires crossed there. Actually, that's a game that's a survival shooter game that's appearing in China. It's just appeared this month in a closed beta state. And this is a new thing from Tencent, the folks who did PUBG. Speaking about what's going to fill the gap and is there anything that's going to plug the Fortnite hole, new games are appearing right now that maybe could move in on that. And this looks like a survivor thing. It's a bit zombie-ish and whatnot, and you know, zombie shooter mixed with a multiplayer business. Although it's built on Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah. Wait and see.
Oops. You chose the wrong engine there, folks. Yeah. But yeah, that's not out now, but it's out now mobile in a closed beta, so that doesn't really count. That's not what we're talking about here. The other thing that I did play is Nameless Cat, which appeared on Android only.
Tell me more.
And it looks it's a kind of arty cat platformer, a catformer. No, I didn't say that. That's rubbish. and it's using lots of cool colors, 16-bit style, very nice animation. You are a little cat, you're jumping around, classic standard platforming world. The unusual mechanic beyond your move left, right, and jump is the fact that there are certain objects you can interact with which do things. So there are these things that look like floating crosses, port keys, something like that. Okay. And when you get close-ish to them, you can press a button and whoosh, your cat disappears and kind of warps inside them. And then you press the button again and boop, your cat is deposited next to that place. So it's like a way of fast traveling or teleporting across gaps or up to platforms you couldn't otherwise reach and stuff like that. So, and then there are other objects that appear that have different effects on the cat character. So it's doing the standard platformer thing, but then mixing in other stuff as well. There are things that you can jump, warp into, and then when you press the button, instead of it just dropping you on the platform, it fires you up like a jetpack, kind of boom, rockets you out of the thing up the screen. So you have to learn what does what when you're using the teleportation stuff. Nice style. I've done about half an hour of it. It's fine. It's okay. You've got a floating companion who's annoying. That's pretty standard, I guess.
Is it premium? Games.
No, it's free. Okay, you download. Cool. I don't know how they're monetizing it.
Yeah, ads maybe.
So Nameless Cat is the name of that one. Haven't you been playing something with cats in it? Or am I making that up?
Making it up.
I'm making it up because I'm getting confused. There's another game called Brightpaw that also came out, and that's available on iOS and Android. And this is the other cat game of the week. This is very different. This is an isometric puzzle game in which you're guiding a cat around the room. And if anything, this is giving me massive Lara Croft Go, Hitman Go vibes.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're trying to move the cat around, and you're also like, you're in office spaces, you're in futuristic, what look like laboratories, moving things around, but you need to, you know, adjust the environment to ensure your character progresses, and by the looks of it, move around in a way that avoids other objects, but it's card based. So you've got cards at the bottom of the screen that in each card corresponds to a movement. So depending on what cards you have, that determines what your cat can do. You can't just click anywhere and go, I'll just wander over here. So if a card has, you know, move forward one square, that's what you do. If it has a little kind of 90 degree right angle to the left, then you lay that card, that's what will happen. So you're limited by the deck that you've got this time. Which reminds me of that golf game. There was a golf game where you were playing like crazy golf, but you're playing it using cards that are at the bottom of the screen that tells you, you know, which way you can move. It was really good, actually, that golf game. So maybe this will work out. I don't know.
It looks cool. I like the idea of it, yeah.
Good presentation, solid idea that I've seen work before. Don't know if it works here, haven't played it yet. Brightpaw is the name.
Two paws up.
Two paws, I'm sure. Okay, I think that's our out point right there. Thank you, everybody, for watching the show, listening to the show as usual. Thank you, Matthew, for coming back.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to be back again next week for more chat, after which we're going to be dealing with the next Pocket Gamer Connects. Pocket Gamer Connects Helsinki Digital. That's going to be coming up the week after. So schedules might be slightly interrupted, but there's going to be an entire week, 5 days of Zoom conference business going on. So if you haven't signed up yet, go and do so. PocketGamerConnects.com. You can go to PGConnects.com.
It's all happening.
Get your tickets. I'll be there behind the stage, managing and panicking when guests don't turn up. It's going to be good. But next week, business as usual. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.